French. Some guys like it quiet. Some guys like it loud. This is.
You know, Gatorade needs to look like he needs some exercise. I don't know.
Of course, the conditions now that he has to play the shot test anyone.
You knew he would. You knew he would.
Oh my goodness.
They've come a long way together, Jim, those two. It's a great story.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into episode 86 of Dialed In, a podcast by the High Cotton Club. Coming to you from High Cotton headquarters, I'm your co-host, Johnny Stew. Join with me as always, Connor Hendrickson, a.k.a. El Capitan, a.k.a. Lefty Sauce for all the refuge haters. You got a lot of ats this week. It's been the high crime areas and the refuge have been a little active this week. You'll love to see it.
Yeah, my name's been floating around a lot, but
apparently there's a lot of people who've never met you who hate you.
Yeah, it is what it is, but this isn't about them. This is about the people who have met me and know that I may be an asshole sometimes, but it's always because I'm trying to do the right things, always trying to treat people the right way. So let's talk about what we got going on here in the High Cotton Club. We can address that stuff, you know, as we see fit, but right off the bat, I want to let everybody know that registration for the Salute, remember the Salute, was supposed to happen in April, supposed to kick off around the Masters. We've postponed that till May 22nd. So the Salute at Vinnie Links registration is open right now. This is your last opportunity to qualify for the Showdown at the Legacy, our Roost Regional Qualifier and final event of the year. So make sure that you get involved with the Salute at Vinnie Links. We'd love to have a great field. Registration is $75 for golf, some cash games, fun stuff like that. So make sure you get involved through Unknown Golf. And also, speaking of the Showdown, let us know if you have reached that threshold of playing in four events or if the Extinction will make your fourth event. Reminder, the Fall Classic, the seventh edition, or the sixth edition, the current seventh edition, both included all the events through the fall. So if any of those make your four, let us know and we will get you added to the Showdown. The Extinction, it is only 5 weeks away. It's crazy to think we are so close, but it's very exciting times around the Extinction. The payment deadline is passed, so if you are part of the field and you have not paid, please do so as soon as you can. If you don't, you will be receiving a message from me shortly. In the same kind of vein, the wait list is now zero. So if you have not gotten involved with this event, if you have not signed up and now you can, maybe your schedule's cleared up, maybe you're just on the fence and now you're like, all right, this is something that I have to be a part of. Follow the links in our Instagram bio. If you're not part of the Roost, if you are part of the Roost, you can just go through your Unknown Golf Player portal, register there. But we look forward to a full field at Central Kentucky, welcoming folks from all around the country who have been around us before, loved us so much, loved the experience so much that they said, you know what, I got to go back to Central Kentucky. And other folks who have heard such good things, they said, I got to go for the first time. It's funny how that works, isn't it, Stu?
Yeah, I mean, when you put on a good event, you know, you don't have to cancel it like some other places have to.
Oh, let's not do that. We don't have to do that. But, you know, the Peachtree Collective, they're great to us, and we appreciate them. They have their major going on this weekend. I was sad that I had to withdraw. Look forward to seeing who qualifies for the NIT out of that event and wish them all well. Shout out Patrick Walker, Quinn Adamson, the whole team down there for what they've done to put together their event. But we're going to be playing them at the Bootlegger back at Sewanee September 21st. And this is an opportunity along with the 8th edition that is open right now. You can register with your four ball partner for the 8th edition, but register for these two events. They're going to be great opportunities to get involved and continue to build that High Cotton experience.
Yeah. And I haven't taken a quick look to see how many we've had registered since we opened it, but I do know this, we're going to spin the wheel on this one, right?
Absolutely. And it's something that, you know, it could work out one of two ways, right? Like we could have 25 people signed up and only half of them make the team. And it's a real kind of like who gets in, or it could be a situation where we only have 16 to 18.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm very curious to see how that works out, but with the wheel, I think that there's no more kind of fair way to do it. And I'm very excited to like actually spin the wheel and to see how that all kind of unfolds. I think it's going to be something that's very cool. And, I'm kind of trying to vamp right now so that I can tell you that we have 10 people currently signed up for the bootlegger.
Cool. And it's, I mean, it's still a ways off, but I think, and we're going to do that. We're going to spin the wheel live on the pod if need be. Right.
Absolutely.
I think it's going to be a good experience for us. I think it's a new way for us to do this instead of, you know, having a qualifier or whatever, just, you know, leave it up to fate. If I get left out, I am fine with anybody from the High Cotton Club who goes, cause they're going to be ready.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and talk about the education.
Okay.
Because if we play like we did the education, Peachtree's going to kick our ass. We got to be better than that.
Okay. So, all right, let's, for everyone, including myself, I played in a tournament this weekend as well that, you know, an old buddy from mine from West Tennessee, we always play in this event. That's why I wasn't able to do this. So I wasn't able to follow along very well. Talk me through. Who won? What happened?
Well,
give me the deets.
In case anybody missed last week's pod, it was the West squad captained by Mr. Joshua Tyler versus the East squad captained by Mr. Tanner Sandell. If you didn't listen to that pod, Tanner Sandell joined us to kind of preview the event. Well, it was Mr. Joshua Tyler's West squad that came out victorious. Tanner talked about on the pod maybe some pairings that surprised him. And you know, hats off to JT. Everything that he did in preparation set up the West squad for success. And it really proved to be a fun event, but kind of a statement, solid, comfortable victory for the West squad.
Nice. So it wasn't nip and tuck. Was it a pretty convincing win? I knew my boy JT was going to come through. I know he went into it. He put the full effort into it. My boy. That's my boy right there. You're my boy, Blue.
The West squad obtained 60.5 points versus the East squad's 47.5.
Okay.
So a 13 point victory for the West squad. When we were last week on the pod, I think I said that I would be comfortable on 7. And that's where I looked. And I was like, yep, we got it.
Hey, and look, one thing I did do is go through those photos, though. Shout out to Kaylin. She nailed it again. Sewanee's got to be a great place to take photos, right?
She said
like,
it herself.
So many like picturesque backgrounds and everything. I mean, the photos were awesome.
She said it herself. I mean, when you add the light that we had that day, just with that scenery, it made for the best pictures that she's taken at a High Cotton Club event. And just kind of all those forces coming together, a little bit of overcast combined with the sun. I mean, everything worked out so well. And Kreider and I were talking about it on the drive up, something about Sewanee being there on Mont Eagle. Mont Eagle, just, it's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful part of Tennessee. You know, I know that it's not the Rocky Mountains. I've spent plenty of time in the Rocky Mountains. I lived there.
The foothills.
It's the foothills of the Smokies, of the Cumberland Plateau especially. And it is. It's absolutely beautiful to look over that valley when you're on 3, when you're on 5. It's a postcard. It looks like something that would be in a $1 million painting. I don't know what art's worth. But it's a beautiful, beautiful scene. And every time that we get to go there, it feels like we're lucky to go there. And shout out the staff at Sewanee. They could not have been more gracious to host us. They're just excited to have us every time and looking forward to having us back in September.
Yeah. And that's, man, that goes without saying. It's so appreciative. It's not just like bringing a group out. It's just anytime you go to a golf, I feel like since 2020, like, customer service has taken a bit of a dip with everything. And golf's no different. It's so nice to go to a place and feel welcomed.
Absolutely. Yeah. When we got there, he was like, all right, cool. Like, carts are, our keys are in the carts. We'll get some range balls out there for you. Just come pay whenever you're done.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, bet. And then just throughout the day, checking in with us. Could not have been more accommodating, and love the merch, want some merch. So we'll get him hooked up. And
heard, I heard you guys played a little slow though.
All right. So yeah, we can talk about it. I guess we should. Right. So our first tee time was 12:20. That group finished at 5:20. Our final tee time was 12:50. That group finished at 12:50. So that's 5 hour pace of play, which expected pace of play in the High Cotton Club, max expected pace of play, especially in an event like this, is 4 hours. However, it was nothing that our guys did. We waited from the very first tee till the very last tee. We had some folks sneak off in between us. It's of no fault to the university. I'm not trying to assign blame to anybody, but it was a beautiful day and everybody wanted to get out. Today was the last day of classes at Sewanee.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody was maybe that last weekend of like trying to get out and have some fun before exams start. Right. So there were a bunch of people out on the golf course, just having a good time. And there's, when you go to a university golf course, you kind of have to deal with stuff like that. And it's not an outright negative, but it does result in some slower pace of play. That being said, we pushed the pace as fast as we could. You know me, I hit it in a D ball a few times. Like,
you hit it into everyone. So including myself. So, it's honestly to no surprise of any of us in Middle Tennessee. I can't speak to other parts of the country because I don't play golf there regularly. But if you play in 4 hours on a public golf course in Middle Tennessee, I feel like you sped around.
You have nothing to complain about.
Yeah, there's nothing to play around.
Yeah,
I mean it. I played a municipality. Public golf course, you go out on a weekend, especially a beautiful weekend, you will expect 5 hours. And that, unfortunately, frankly, is the nature of the beast of what we have here in Middle Tennessee. When I started reading all of that, I was like, what are these guys even talking about? Because, like, this is kind of normal. Like, this has been, it's not... If I go out and play by myself, if we happen to find a day, you know, in the game where there's nobody in front of us, yeah, we play in three and a half hours.
But how often?
It's very rare. Like it's like a 50 degree day in February. Yep. You know, that's like a, you know, maybe you had a chance of rain and people just didn't come out. It's just it's the nature of what we deal with here, and I'm sure it's the same way across the country. It may not be as bad. At one point for a 4 year span had an average of 100 people moving here per day. So I feel like our public golf courses are probably loaded down a little bit more than other parts of the country, but I'm not going to say that's entirely the case, but I think it definitely plays a part in it.
And we've said for a long time that like, we don't have the infrastructure to sustain the amount of golfers that we have. Like that's been one of my biggest gripes with the Middle Tennessee golf scene. And so when you start to look at situations specifically like this, yeah, sure, it is disappointing. We all would like to play a little bit faster, but it's just the nature of the beast when you're in a place like this where we're still in that post-COVID golf boom where people are playing golf who aren't great at golf, who don't get everything. I was practicing today and I heard a guy, he was just ecstatic that he broke 100 this weekend. And he was like, I shot 99 and I only took this mulligan because, and he was like explaining it. I was like, that's a lot of what we have around here. And yeah. Those guys aren't playing in 3 hours. Those guys also aren't necessarily part of our roost. The guys that we have in our roost who do shoot high scores, play quick, get the idea of like, if you suck, suck fast, right?
Yeah. The main rule with golf in Middle Tennessee is keep up with the group in front of you.
Yes. Which we never failed to do one time at Sewanee, and we typically never do.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You got these mashed potatoes that sit behind their keyboard that think they know the world. And Anyway, I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah. All right. So the good stuff that happened from the education, right? We had some people qualify for the showdown. Our top points earners for the West squad, we had two of the top point earning teams from the West side go to the showdown, and the top point earning team from the East side go to the showdown. So West squad number one was the ultimate winning West squad. It was Brad Stuhlreier, who was in that first tee time. Pace play wasn't an issue for him. He played good golf. And JT, our captain, they led us off right.
Both play fast golf. I played with both of them.
Yes. We got to move on. All right. So they, let's see. They earned 6 points during their four ball matches. JT earned 8 during his single match in 9 holes. Talk about a statement. We'll talk about the classic here in a minute. And then B-Stu got 5 points in his 9-hole match. So more than half the points. Really, really solid golf from both of them. Leading the West squad, JT said, you know what? I appreciate the honor of being your captain. That's not enough. I'm going to go lead by example. And he did. He got 14 points by himself. The next highest point earner on the West squad was part of West team number 4. That was myself with 12 points. My partner Dean getting his showdown spot. We got 5.5 points in four ball. I got 6.5 in singles, and he got 3.5 in singles. Kudos to Dean. It was great to meet with him. Great to play with him. Had a ton of fun. It was truly a pleasure and a privilege to compete against Tanner. He pushed me to my best, and it was a ton of fun.
Yeah, and I think we this year, and we may have a version of this in our Dundies, but I don't know if you got a chance to listen to the Nest Pod this week, where they talked about the biggest menaces, you know, that they've encountered, either via through the Nest or through they've, you know, encountered in other avenues. But man, if we don't have that, we probably need to count that in there as a Dundee, because I think JT and Devro both are making a pretty good statement for being the biggest menace in our roost.
We have the Par Net Menace Award. Okay. We've had that award in the past. There you go. Kind of a similar vein, is probably as to what you're referring to.
Yeah.
I think that they had a very loose definition as to what menaces were for the pod. I have not listened to it yet, but just, you know, checking in on that thread as I was waiting to get assaulted in other threads. you know, it was fun.
If you haven't listened to it, so the Nest Pod this month from No Laying Up, they pretty much cover the biggest menaces that, but they're, the definition of menace was very vague and wide. Once they got done talking about it, I was like, I'm not sure if I want to be a menace.
I did see one guy reply, and he was like, I don't take this as a badge of honor or anything like that. And a really heartfelt response from Randy Tron, and that's the last ones that I saw. Like, there was clearly no malice intentions or anything like that. These guys, you know, I think that menace – It's a word that's turned into a bit, right?
Yeah.
And so a lot of things can fall under that, and kind of understanding that, appreciating that. And shout out Night Train Lane. Of course
he Night Train Lane got it.
Of course he's a menace.
And our brother from another mother, Tibbs, got a nomination.
Golly.
Oh, Tibbs from the Electric Factory got a nomination.
Two guys.
He is a menace.
Two guys that like us.
In all forms and fashions of it, he's a menace.
No doubt about that. All right. So the final team to qualify for the showdown from the education was East Squad number 3. It was Jordan Miller and Alex Kreider, the boy. He was in full effect this weekend. He bought sun sleeves when he got there. He had the NLU buff on. He looked like ZB from Tourist Australia. It was so, so sick. Carrying the McKenzie, it was chef's kiss. I can't wait to post just a ton of pictures of that. He doesn't have social media, so like he never used to see when he's posted, but I'm gonna blast that forever.
Yeah, I think it's a good candidate for our next member Monday.
Good call. But he got he and Jordan got 3.5 points in their four ball match, and Jordan got 3.5 points in his singles match. Kreider got 6.5 points in his singles match, so they were the top points earners for the E squad, and thus Kreider was already in the showdown. I think that locks Jordan Miller into the field, though.
Nice. He, Jay Kreider is, He's just working on a feel, man. Just working on a feel.
I don't know how much of this he wants to be public, so I'll try to, you know, just go ahead and spill the beans, essentially. We were talking on the way down about his mentality, right? And he's like, you know, I've always been kind of this happy-go-lucky, like, whatever happens guy. And he said he wanted to turn into more of a killer, right? Like, take the shit seriously, go out there and beat the guy in front of him. And I asked him on the ride back, like, as soon as I got in the truck, like, so how's the mentality? He's like, oh, I forgot about that. We had a great time.
A lot of times that's usually the best way to go anyway. If you go out with like too serious of a mentality with this stuff, like, you know, we say like Neil says, what's his quote on the competition?
Low stakes, but meaningful competition.
Yeah, that's right. Low stakes, meaningful competition. So you take it seriously, but you keep the number one thing, the number one thing. It's about the time you have, and you just try to execute shots. So sounds like he's coming around to that. I mean, we've sort of talked about it a little bit on the pod before. Like, it seems like Kreider has all the tools, to be, for lack of a better word, a killer. Mm-hmm. He's extremely likable to play with. So we'll see where this goes. It is year of murder. Could be the year of murder for Kreider. Kreider takes that step to be that golfer that we sort of all see in him.
Mm-hmm. I think it's finding that ability, and I've been working on it myself, of like being able to flip that switch during the round, right? We'll talk about this a little bit with my life advice, but like, I want to live out who I want to be all the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to change that just because I really, really, really want to win a golf match, or I really, really want to play well. So to find that balance of like, all right, when it's my time, like, switches on, killer. As soon as the shot's over, until it's time to get back in the process, like, switches off. It's just hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
And finding that balance, I think that's something that we could all probably get a little bit better at and continue to improve on.
Yeah, I mean, you always try, like, being able to go out and win matches like that, like, it doesn't happen. You're not able to do it by saying, like, okay, I'm going to hit this shot. No, it's work that you put in. Mm-hmm. And Kreider puts in as much work as anyone does. Like, that's the foundation of it. It's being able to go out there and hit that shot when you need to, when you're even or one down with two or three to play, and being able to hit that shot because you put the work in. You may have said, all right, we've been having a good time all day, let's lock this down and hit the shot. And it's not just a mindset. Like, you've got to put the work in order to feel confident enough to hit that shot. And Kreider's one that he puts the work in. So I don't think we've seen the best golf Kreider can play yet.
We take a break from today's episode to bring you a word from the fine folks at the Rudder at Anchor High Marina. It's almost extinction time, and that means that it's almost time to display all the great work that Patrick Patton does with the extinction, his fantastic logo for our event at Park Mammoth. But that's not all that he does. If you're watching on Spotify, you can see some of the great designs in front of me, behind me, and he extends that same effort, energy, and execution to everything that the Patton family is doing at the Rudder at Anchor High Marine in Hendersonville, Tennessee. Voted one of the best outdoor seating spots in all of Middle Tennessee, and you need to go check it out yourself. The weather is perfect right now to go get food, drinks, whatever you want with some loved ones on the great patio at the Rudder at Anchor High Marina on Old Hickory Lake at 126 River Road in Hendersonville, Tennessee. You can give them a call at 615-348-0129. 20, 25 minutes outside downtown Nashville. This is the perfect spot. So you go Wednesday through Thursday, 11 to 10, Friday through Saturday, 11 to 11, Sunday, 11 to 10. And what am I saying? They're open on Tuesdays now because it's the perfect time to be at the Rudder at Anchor High Marina. Happy hours Tuesday through Friday, 2 to 6. So make sure you check them out. The Rudder at Anchor High Marina, 126 River Road in Hendersonville, Tennessee. We appreciate their support very much. We appreciate the Patton family very much. And we appreciate you very much for listening to another episode of Dialed In, a podcast by the High Cotton Club. Without any further ado, let's get back to the episode. Wrapping up the education, I want to shout out our KP winners. We talked about Mr. Joshua Tyler maybe being a menace. Well, almost made a hole in one. Yes.
What?
Yes. I don't remember if it was number three or number five, but Tanner had been hitting the par threes well all day, or playing the par threes pretty well all day. He won two KPs himself. I think JT's had to be on three because I think Tanner won both of his on five. So we walk up to number three, and it's like 2 inches from the hole. It's like, how? I mean, this is right behind the bunker in front of the green. Turns out he just one-hopped it, hit the flag, dropped down right next to it.
Just pin-seeking. That's my boy. That's my boy, Blue.
Good stuff from JT.
We knocked the paint off the flag sticks.
Again, it was a privilege and a pleasure to compete with him and for him on the West squad. I'll say it one more time before we move on and kind of wrap the education. West side!
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's the side I picked.
Yes, sir.
I'm with you on that. I'm a little, you know, I've been kind of having some like, what do they call it when you buy something and then you
buyer's remorse?
Yeah, I'm having buyer's remorse that Dylan and I are going to be playing in the four ball. I kind of want JT.
Don't do that. Don't do that. I don't want to see that. Nobody wants to see that. Dear Lord.
I may have to pull a Connor on Dylan and just bounce him.
And Dylan may do that with Devro. So let's talk about the classic. Devro, the first to advance to the knockout stage, he put a whooping on Dylan today. 6-5.
Wait. You mean JT and Devro are playing together?
No.
Oh. In the classic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's what we in the business call segue.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So Devro. First to advance,
seamless.
First to advance to the knockout stage in the seventh edition of the High Cotton Classic with a massive statement victory over Dylan Doris, 6-5 at Tennessee Grasslands today. Dylan, admittedly, not his best stuff, but he said that Devro's just turned into a killer.
Man, it looks that way.
Said he might beat Turley straight up gross, which I think is a little bit of a leap, but
pump the brakes.
But Devro just playing golf right now.
It seems that way. I said it in the Discord earlier. It's like, is he going Will Robertson? 2023 Will Robertson on everybody?
So you asked that, and then you said, is that, what was it, 01 Tiger?
01 Tiger compared to 2024 Scheffler.
So let's talk about that. All right, if we want to make those comparisons, a lot more wins for those guys. They're playing good golf, but how many wins did Will rack up last year? How many wins has Devro racked up this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's true.
A lot of good golf. A lot of really good golf. But has it translated all the way to the winning circle yet? That's the question.
Like, it's true till it ain't.
That's true.
I mean,
I was terrified of Will last year. I think everybody
wanted to play Will last year.
Nobody wanted to play him. So like that's a massive sign of respect. Nobody wants to play Devin right now. Nobody wants to play JT right now. So it's a massive sign of respect for all those guys. It's just you know, when you start to make the 01 Tiger and 2024 Scotty comparisons, maybe those are the comparisons that are a little bit too far fetched.
Well, I mean, maybe, but it's a bit.
And I try to enhance the
obviously
bit.
Devro doesn't hit it like Scotty does.
Yeah, and I tried to enhance a bit. What if it's like just the short burst of success?
This is
like we saw from Jason Day back in the day, and we saw from John Rahm, where they're just like the hottest golfer on the planet for like 18 months.
Yeah. I thought that probably is a better analogy than what I made.
All right.
Until it's not.
Yeah. It's all fun and games, and we're all terrified of you. So congratulations, Devin. A great play-in. He now awaits the winner of Turley and Appleton after Appleton's 3-2 victory over Vinny. You know, Turley, he's going to have to go out. We've talked about it in the past. He's going to have to go out and play some of his best golf to beat Appleton. Appleton, he'll come ready for the challenge. And I know that, you know, he really wants it. And so I'm excited to see how this match plays out.
Appleton has as much experience in this tournament as anyone does.
Because of all those extra holes, right?
And actually, you know, because of that, he has more experience.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to see this go to extra holes.
You're right.
But it'll be interesting to have they've determined where they want to play. But setup, I think setup affects Appleton more than it affects Turley, but not by much. I think setup where Turley's game is, I think affects him too. Just because he still, even though he's playing more, I feel like he's still struggling with the driver. He hits such a low spin, monster tee ball, that if it's not coming off the center, man, it stays in the air a long time and it can get in some bad places. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the nature of the business of being a big hitter, but Appleton's sort of the same way in the same sense. Like he's not as long as Turley is, but he's plenty long.
Mm-hmm.
And his scores, I've been playing with Appleton for a decade now. His scores are determined a lot of times by how well he gets off the tee.
So this,
if he plays from the fairway, Appleton is very, very tough.
So this should be very interesting to see where they go. You know, a place like Park Mammoth would make a ton of sense for both of them. I would imagine that neither one of them wants to give the other one that much wiggle room, right?
Like, yeah,
they'll both want to figure out how to apply pressure and say, I'm going to have it today. If the other guy doesn't, that's what it is. But that's kind of the idea that I would take.
It's kind of the same sense of what you alluded to on the last podcast with you and JT, where if you play up, like you're still kind of playing to his strengths too. Like you guys sort of are, you know, off the tee, have the same strength and weaknesses.
No, he's a lot longer than me. Let's not get that twisted.
But it'll be interesting. I'll be interested to see where they play. I think it's going to be a really good match, and I wouldn't be surprised with extra holes again.
Totally agree. Well, moving on in the Tennessee bracket, Jackson Bell unfortunately has some stuff going on in his life to where he had to withdraw. He's in our thoughts. We'll be thinking about him consistently, hoping that he can get back to a good spot and rejoin us again soon. But that leaves the winner of you and Lane to advance after Lane defeated West yesterday, 5-4 at 12 stones, a match that we were both in attendance for.
Yeah. It was a fun day. It was good to watch them, you know, be able to kind of watch them. We had our sort of little side PGL game. We were able to get involved with that with a little jackpot action too. You know, I played Wes in the first match and he piped his driver and, you know, played with him the other day and he just didn't hit it well at all. And that I feel like that was sort of his downfall. He just could not keep it in play. He got Lane actually, of course I know Lane didn't play his best golf, but Lane gave him some opportunities late.
Absolutely.
To come back and pick up some wins late. And it was like, if one of them hit a bad shot, the other one hit a bad shot. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the way it was. It's like they followed each other around the golf course almost.
Yeah. The one that really sticks out, the moment that sticks out where it was kind of like, if Wes is going to get back into it, it's now. It was the old number 3, now number 12, the uphill mm-hmm. dog leg left. Lane's out of bounds off the tee. Wes is in the fairway, hits his second out of bounds. And that was a spot where you have to be able to take advantage of that opportunity.
Yeah.
And then they both lose their tee shots on the next one. And the match ends on the hole after that.
Yeah. They tied number 12 with 8, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Wes had already gotten off the tee and was in the middle of the fairway. So, like, it's a, you know, even though you tie with 8, you're down. You're in the fairway, like, you know, I mean, you don't have to tell Wes knows this, but it's like, that was, that was your chance to sort of swing that momentum a little bit.
Yep.
And then, you know, Lane pumps it out on the next one too, but then he follows him right behind it. So it's like he just didn't have it where he was able to capitalize on those chances. Mm-hmm. But
one of those guys that you can't have a bad time around.
Oh, yeah.
It's always great to be able to play with Wes. Haven't played with him in a long time. So that was a pleasure. Sorry that he struggled a little bit, but congratulations to Lane. Like we said, that leaves you guys in a position where we always wanted with Jackson's withdrawal for the golf to decide the results, right? And that's exactly what's going to happen. Winner of your match is going to advance. I'll be interested to see where that match takes place. Has there been any conversations yet?
There has. We're looking at sort of middle of the next week. We've got a couple places. We were going to try Hermitage, but it just books up so fast. It wasn't going to be an option unless it was on Sunday, which is Mother's Day, which is not going to be good for me or Lane.
Yep.
We're not looking to be in doghouses all of the following week for playing golf on Mother's Day.
Yep.
So, we're looking
for the following year.
Yeah. We're looking at, Foxland or maybe Old Fort.
Heard Old Fort is closed right now.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not Old Fort, but we're looking at right now. The proposal on the table is we're working on a tee time at Foxland.
Sounds good. Look forward to following that and seeing where that ends up being. But in my pod, Clay also had to withdraw. Not as serious of an issue as Jackson's, but our thoughts are with him nonetheless. Hope that he gets to feeling better so that he can have a successful trip up to the Extinction. I know he's got some stuff in between now and then that he needs to get done as well. So our thoughts are with Clay. Hope that he gets a speedy recovery with his hurt shoulder. But that leaves the winner of me and JT to advance. We've talked about me and JT playing before. Same thing as Will. Scared of him. Like, this guy, we saw what he did at the Education. He's been playing great golf. I am as confident in my game right now as I have been in a long time. That doesn't make me feel any better about playing him. Our plan right now, or our plan as of Wednesday or Tuesday of this week, was for us to play Saturday morning at Park Mammoth as part of that mega jackpot. We were going to play our classic match. Well, Wednesday I received an invite to possibly be an alternate in the mid-am four ball this weekend. So if I get that call on Friday, we will push our match back and probably go back to the Legacy.
Cool. Off topic, but where is mid-am four ball this
year?
Toei. Oh, it's at Toei. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. So while we're on the topic, shout out Brad Stuhlreier. Hope that he has a great weekend competing. Rosario Falzone competing with Trey Roberson. Hope that those guys play well. The Doris brothers may or may not be playing. Roten and Clary, they've had success in the Classic. So the High Cotton Club is going to be represented out there one way or another. But obviously would love if I could throw my name back in the ring. Haven't played a competitive event like that in a long time. And Bailey Gill, an OG Classic competitor, invited me. And hopefully it all works out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great tournament. I played it. Of course, they didn't start the Mid-Am 4-Ball until about 5 years ago. And I played in it the first several years with an old buddy of mine. And, I think every year we shot the same score, like both days. Like we were right around like one under even par for the weekend. But we played at Tunica, and that was a sight for it. I have not played in it since they moved to Toei. But Toei, obviously, another good sight for it.
Good side, just a little bit of a quirky golf course. I think we're going to be playing it if I get to play it. The tournament will be around 6,500 this weekend. Mm-hmm. I was talking to D-Ball. He's like, y'all are lucky. We're playing ours from about 7,000 this weekend. So in the same kind of breath.
Every golf course in Alabama is freaking long.
So long. Well, I guess because it gets so hot, firm, and fast in the summers, right? Like you have that ability. But good luck to D-Ball, Josh, Matt Drummond. Is Mace playing? I don't think so, right? I think it's just Matt, Josh, and D-Ball. Good luck to those guys as well in the Alabama four ball. High Cotton getting involved in the mid-am four balls this weekend.
Yeah, wasn't it at Limestone last year, though?
It might have been. This year it's at Hoover Country Club.
Okay.
So Nick Melantis has been hosting some guys for some
practice. I feel like last year and the year before, D-Ball can, or Mace, or Meese can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was at Limestone. the last couple of years, the four ball.
They have a lot going on down in Alabama with their state association. They do have
so many good golf courses. Yep. So many good public golf courses.
Absolutely. But getting back to the classic and talking about the Alabama pod, Mace defeated Joe Imstein to force a winner-take-all with Zach Roberson, a.k.a. Fairway Finder. Very interested to see where that match takes place, when that match takes place, and who is going to come out on top. Zach, we heard from Tanner last week, consistently a fairway guy, consistently that kind of net menace guy. Didn't have his best this weekend at Suwannee, but I just expect that to add fuel to the fire, motivate him even more for this third stage of the classic match. And then Brandon Walker defeated Justin Meese 5-3, but D-Ball remains in control of that pod. If he goes out, beats Meese, he advances.
Yeah, that was always a pod we had circled as being like, you know, you think, like, your gut tells you D-Ball.
Mm-hmm.
But Brandon was, I mean, Brandon gave him all he wanted.
And so did Ken Wright.
So, hats off to D-Ball, even though I don't want to admit it. But, you know, he's played some pretty good golf. And he's in control of his own destiny.
You know what else he's in control of?
What?
I think he's in control of the jackpot race now, isn't he?
Yes.
So,
because you beat me out of 100 points.
You mentioned that. So, we'll talk about it briefly. D-Ball now at 875. You at 757. I'm sneaking back up to 715. Josh Hollingsworth at 253. Brad Stuhlreier at 170. Devin Frederick at 140. Tied with Beers there. Josh Tyler following them up at 110. Thomas Salter at 90. And Lane Rockensock rounds out the top 10 for our jackpot race with just a month left to play.
Yeah, I know. The 100-point loss hurt me a little bit. I still think I'm in good control to get into the final four, but I don't want D-Ball to have too much of an advantage over me. You know, I don't want him to try and bet me out. I think last year I went into it with the biggest pot, but it wasn't by much over D-Ball. And it's the fact that I don't want D-Ball to say he got more points than I do. Like, it irks me. I'm not going to stand for it.
Yeah, I totally understand the feeling. I can't even compete in the final four, and I'm out here trying to take points just because I want people to know. I may have been gone for a while. I may not have been competing. I may not have been playing golf. I didn't go anywhere, though.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get to play it. You're not going to play in it, but, I mean, you're still – I respect it. You're still competing for it. You're still – I mean, jackpots are jackpots. Regardless of the end of the year thing, you still compete in jackpots.
Absolutely. And
that's why I still bet you 100. Like, yeah. It was – like, it's the first time you and I got to play golf in I don't know when.
I really don't. It was such a pleasure.
Because even, I mean, what, the par three at Frisco, mm-hmm. maybe?
That's what I said. And before that, like, I didn't play with you.
The practice round at Sweetens? I mean, like, I didn't play
either one of those. So, like, legitimately have no clue the last time we played golf together other than a par three course. So, it was a true pleasure. Obviously, it was a ton of fun to be able to get you a little bit. I know that I didn't get your best, but it was a great match. And it resulted in a PGL victory for the Wrecking Balls. The Wrecking Balls absolutely wrecking the PGL right now. 28.5 points through 39 matches, followed up by the Natty Daddies, 16 points through 23 matches. Top Gun with 10.5 through 25. The Locomotives with 8.5 through 25. Dirty Mike and the Boys with 8.5 through 17, and Prometheus with 7 through 17.
Yeah, so, I mean, at least everybody's competing. We did increase the amount of matches played. Looks like I think everybody's going to be okay with that.
Yeah, so we'll be playing 50 matches this year. We need Dirty Mike and the Boys and Prometheus to start playing some more matches, but I imagine that would be any problem. Is the weather is getting better. We're getting longer days now. We can fit in rounds of golf after work. We're getting to that prime time golf season.
Oh, yeah. Bermuda's getting hard and fast.
It's getting hot.
Middle Tennessee. It's getting hot. Sun's going down late. Yeah. We need to we need to get the bottom teams up on their matches. But I mean, obviously, you know, Beers just had a baby, so you know he's not playing a whole lot of golf and probably not getting a whole lot of sleep. But shout out, happy birthday, Beers.
Yes.
Today's his birthday. We'll give him a pass.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Crider's been busy with work. And again, it's not all on the owners. Players got to get out there, got to compete. It's been a lot of fun for me to be able to watch from afar. And now it's even more fun to be able to get involved. And so I'm having a ton of fun with PGL. Hope that everybody else is as well. Something else that I'm very appreciative of, very much thankful for, is Dylan Doris. I hate to say it. It sucks, right? Doris Bros, I think they were supposed to play in the four ball this weekend. May or may not be withdrawing to go play in a softball tournament.
That's how bad Devereaux beat him today. He's withdrawing from the four ball.
But nonetheless, AAA Glass is a locally owned company in High Cotton Country since 2003. They specialize in auto glass and shower doors, and no job is too big or too small. They can handle any glass in your vehicle or any shower from residential homes to hotels and apartments. They are located all over the southeastern United States with brick-and-mortar locations in Tennessee.
What?
Alabama.
What?
Georgia.
What?
Florida.
What?
Mississippi.
What?
And Kentucky. They can service any of the High Cotton Club members with fantastic customer service and a quick response time, and they have embodied the Southern hospitality that the High Cotton Club is known for. You know, I was driving through Springfield today. I was about to pull into the Legacy, and guess what I saw? Logan Doris getting out of his truck at somebody's residential home, fixing their windshield so they didn't have to drive with a broken windshield. That's the type of Southern hospitality that AAA Glass and the Doris family represents.
Rich, some guys like it quiet. Some guys like it loud. This is...
You know, the gator needs to look like he needs some exercise. I don't know.
The conditions now that he has to play the shot test anyone.
Straight up. Yeah, look at this, Peter. Look at this shot. Look at this. Might go in. It is in.
Oh, he's running after it. He ran after it. He got there before the ball did.
I don't believe it. How about that? No, shouldn't do that.
You knew he would.
Come a long way together, Jim. Those two. It's a great story.